Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking about it from the point of view of Romans, the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. And to give you a quick review again, so that we are always reading Paul in the context of Paul, and of course, Paul in the context of the Gospel of the Kingdom, we see that in chapter 1 he writes, those obedient to the faith. He's actually talking about what they do, their actions, their works. Of the gospel of Christ. Again, Paul is always within the gospel of Christ. The just shall live by faith. Warning of the wrath of God against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. He's warning that you're not going to be saved if you are unrighteous men. You need to be righteous. Vain imaginations and foolish hearts who are professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served their institutions. The institutions of man are what man devises for himself, what he makes himself, and he worships that. I belong to this church. I belong to that church. You need to belong to God. You need to belong to Christ. Or I belong to this government. Or I belong to this other institution that I've created that provides for my salvation in this world. Christ is your salvation in this world and the next. And what that means is what Paul is talking about to those who are obedient in faith. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, that if you are selfish, if you reject the Spirit of God living and dwelling in you, you will come up with all kinds of personal justification for all kinds of deeds, from adultery to fornication to murder to coveting your neighbor's goods. You will think that's okay, even though Christ said, if you want eternal life, you know the commandments, keep them. And of course, he summed up the commandments into loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And there's a lot of things that people do today that is not really loving, that is actually the work of the sword, the work of force, the work of violence upon the people. And they do it to each other. Being filled with all unrighteousness, he lists off fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. Envy, what is that? That the rich are rich and you're not as rich, so you want to take from the rich because you are covetous and malicious. You like to debate and argue. Simple points. Deceit, malignity, whisperings, gossip, backbiting. Haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, they may claim God. They may even claim they know his name. But are they all these other things? Inventors of evil things. In other words, they make up all kinds of rules and say, oh, if you do this, that's evil. And oh, you do this, that is evil. But in reality, they are actually covetous, murderous, fornicating individuals. And eventually this comes out. They are whited sepulchers, but the stench comes through. Their whited garments. They are disobedient to parents. They don't even care about their parents. Let the state take care of their parents. I'm just going to go off and do my own thing. Honor thy father and thy mother means to fatten them. It means to enrich the family. Family is an institution of God. Government is an institution of men. And often it is instituted by men who are wicked and covetous and despise God. Not that all government is bad, but governments are invented and reinvented all the time. And if your heart is given over to a reprobate mind, you will lead your government in a particular direction that is against the ways of God, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Man really has no excuse, as we see in chapter 2. God will render to every man according to his deeds. Is that because of works? Well, of course. Are you saved by works? Of course not. But you need to be striving, persevering, doing, because Christ said so. You will still fall short, and God will run out and meet you. But you need to be striving. This paranoia about the mentioning of works is clearly unhealthy. It's what leads you down into this reprobate mind. Warns of contentious who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignations, and wrath, tribulations, and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil works. You're either doing righteousness or you're doing evil. If you're coveting your neighbor's goods, you're doing evil. One inwardly, circumcision of the heart, being willing to fast from this covetous relationship we've developed in modern societies, in the spirit and not in the letter. You see, what the Pharisees tried to do is create a letter law, rules, regulation, had to do it this way, had to use this calendar, had to use this word. No, God forbid. They are all gone out of the way. The way is very clear, very simple. It is a way of loving one another. They have used deceit and poison of the asp in their lips. Their blessings are a curse, a bitterness upon you. Their feet are swift to shed blood to take from their neighbor. And they have created a net in which they themselves are captured, which we explained in Proverbs. Destruction and misery are in their ways. It's going to fail. The unrighteous mammon always fails. They do not know peace. They actually, you'd be surprised how angry some of these people are that want to implement these covetous ways, and how they hate anyone who could actually take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, because it shows them their failing, that you can do this if you really love one another. There is no fear of God in their eyes. They are gods unto themselves. For they all sin and come short in their reprobate minds, being justified freely by grace, by the law of faith. If we are obedient in that faith, do we then make void the law through faith? Paul says, God forbid. Yea, we establish the law, believed God, counted unto him for righteousness. We need to be striving for that righteousness in our actions. That is evidence of our faith. If we are not, that is evidence that our faith is a lie. We should be establishing the law, keeping all of the law of God. As the handwritten ordinances, yes, he has set those aside for those who are obedient in faith and go the way and receive the baptism of Christ instead of the baptism of Herod or the baptism of Rome. They didn't really have baptism, but they had both had a system of Corban. In Herod's day, you entered his system of Corban that made the word of God to none effect by his baptism. But by John's baptism, you had to live by faith, hope, and charity. And this is what the Romans were doing. They were not doing it through the regulations and rules and laws imposed upon them by the Congress of the Pharisees. But were following in the ways of Christ, the ways of righteousness of faith. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, fully persuaded, imputed to him for righteousness. That is what we need to be doing, is what is righteous. And now we come upon chapter 5. And what we are doing in the study of the epistles and of the Bible is, the Bible is a huge book. It's got all kinds of things in it, but it is all one creature. Like the elephant, one man looks at it and says, oh, it's like a trunk, and the other one says, oh, it's like a tail, and the other one says it's like stumps of trees. Well, let's walk around that elephant and look at it from so many different points of view and see what the nature of this elephant is. And that is what Paul is doing in Romans, except for the fact that these people already know the difference between living by faith and living by the sword. These Romans no longer force their neighbors to contribute to their welfare. They are taking care of one another. It is some of the residue of the Pharisees' form of Judaism, bringing in rules that Paul is often talking about here. Those laws, those regulations, those handwritten ordinances are done away with. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the real faith, the faith that has caused you to walk in another way, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope and in glory of God. Luke 22:32 says, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Their faith could actually fail. He had to pray that their faith faileth not, because they were going to live by faith, and it was going to be hard, and they were going to struggle at times. And we'll see how that crops up again and again in the context of the whole Bible. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Yes, that's what we're dealing with. We have to have this patience. A lot of people become impatient at trying to network together and form a society that operates by faith, hope, and charity, because we are such babes in that realm of Christ's gospel. We have not done it for so long, and our lives are often so comfortable, but they can get uncomfortable very fast. And so those of us who have faith, who can see things far off, need to be asserting our patience and waiting upon the Lord, and waiting upon those who have not yet turned about and begun to walk in the ways of the Lord. Our faith is not dependent upon their cooperation or cooperation. Our faith should be our faith, and we should walk in this way no matter how soon others wake up. Verse 3, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation." That's what he's talking about. Okay, it's hard. We don't have a problem with that. But that tribulation will worketh patience if we continue in the way ourselves. And he will give us strength. And through us, others might begin to see. And there we have redemption in our striving for his way. Do you think it was easy for the prodigal son to walk back home again? No, it was probably hard. But his father come out and met him. So it shall be with us if we persevere. Why, that is why Christ said persevere. Luke 8:15, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having I heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Luke 21:19, "In your patience possesseth ye your souls." You must be patient. You must learn to wait upon the Lord. And even Paul goes on to say this in verse 4, "And patience, experience, and experience, hope." People often ask me, how do I know if I'm listening to God or not? Experience, hope, patience, wait upon the Lord. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." If you are impatient with those who are not abiding in the ways of God and are slow to act upon his grace, then is it not because you doubt God can eventually work in them as well? God will send us imperfect souls. God will send us sinners to eat at the banquet. And he talks about them coming in. But yet, are we not to be there to help them also put on the wedding garments? And in helping and being patient with them, is there not also hope for us? For has God not also had to be patient with us? Of course. So is the love of God shed abroad to those around you? Revelation 1:6 says, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." The impatient king is the tyrant. Be not impatient. Are we kings and priests? Do we have faith? And are we faithful? Paul is talking about what? Or have we become something else? Revelation 5:10, "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." A king is patient, must be. Matthew 21:13. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. They have done this because they were impatient. They did not believe others would contribute. They didn't believe that they could make it on faith alone, so they created an institution that forces their neighbors to contribute to their welfare and become a den of thieves. Impatience is the beginning of that. Put your impatience away. Mark 7:13. Making the word of God of none effect through your traditions which ye have delivered, and many such things do you. How do they do this? They do this with their systems of Corban, which we've gone over and over, but it's part of the whole picture, so we cannot leave it out. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban. In other words, go collect your social security check. I've already given to them, and that's your money now. You are responsible for your parents, and that system of Corbin will fail. It has already failed. The social security systems of the world everywhere are totally bankrupt. And the United States said from the beginning in 1933 and 1960, there is no earmarking of funds. It is all one basket, and it is in a deficit by trillions of dollars. So therefore, even if there was a surplus in Social Security, there is no surplus. If you eat of that table, you owe the debt. And you have become merchandise. You have become a human resource. And the only way you can survive and live long upon the land is to begin the Corban of Christ. Begin to learn to live by faith, hope, and charity, and help one another. And this is what he's talking about in Mark 7:11. What he's talking about in the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother so that thy days be long upon the land. Because if you create a system of Corban that operates by force, it will fail and you will die. In Galatians 5:1 it says, Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made thee free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. How do you get entangled? Will you say, let's all have one purse? Let's create a system of Corban where they have to pay in, where we all become human resources. Which we see in 2 Peter 2:20, he says, For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior of Jesus Christ, this pollution of what world? The world, the constitutional order and the system of government set up by Herod and also set up by Rome and also set up by government after government since Babylon, where they become the mighty benefactors instead of the Lord. The Lord is your benefactor, and you need to gather together so that the Lord can work through each of you in patience. But you have begun and become entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse than it was in those days. And the fall that is coming will be worse than there was in the destruction of Jerusalem. Millions more will die. 2 Peter 2 verses 1 through 3, But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers amongst you, and they are here now, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Oh, they will take his name, and they will use his name, but in vain, because they will say, Oh, you will not be judged according to your deeds. You will be saved because of your thoughts. No, you must truly repent, turn around, and become obedient in faith. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In other words, if you try to take care of yourselves together in faith, hope, and charity, they will call you evil because you will not sacrifice at their temples, their institutions, where they worship, which are in government buildings, because they are not the government of the people, they are the government of the state, and the state owns them, and they have become that merchandise, that human resources. And through covetousness, they with feigned words make merchandise of you, because they got you to covet the goods of the rich, say, oh, let's tax the rich so that we will all be secure and saved. If you are already saved by Christ, why are you coveting your neighbor's goods in order to be secure in this world? You say, oh, well, that's just government. That's against the ways of Christ. And with vain words they have deceived you. Now whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not? It is coming. Was this a new idea? Paul says in Romans 11:9, that David saith, let their table be a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. And it has become that. And what he's talking about is Psalm 69:22, where he says, let their table become a snare before them, and which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Just as we see in Proverbs, where he says, if you sit and eat with a ruler, a man who exercises authority one over the other, and ye be a man of appetite, put a knife to your throat. Isaiah 1:21 says, how is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment and righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. How many people are murdered every day? I'm not talking about gun violence. Most of that is amongst murderers murdering murderers. I'm talking about abortion. I'm talking about invasion of other countries where millions die, so that you can have cheap gas, and so that rich will become richer. And then they say, oh yeah, but let's tax the rich. But they never do. It never happens. The rich are not rich because they're stupid. They're rich because they're clever. England tried to tax the rich, and they raised the taxes on the rich, and the rich paid less taxes the next year because they rearranged their riches so that they were non-taxable riches. It's easy to do if you have lawyers that put great burdens on you, but they themselves will not go into righteousness. Isaiah 1:23 went on to say, thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. You are not kings and priests. Your princes are rebellious. They are companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards, benefits. They judge not the fatherless. They don't take care of the fatherless, the orphans, those whose families have fallen. Neither doth the cause of the widows come unto them. They send them to the men who call themselves benefactors, who exercise authority. So they are trapped in the same net. Luke 17:21, neither shall they say, lo there, or lo here. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. If it was within you, why would you be coveting your neighbor's goods? Why would you be asking men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority? You take care of. Why would you be praying to them for benefits? You would not be. You have been deceived because of these damnable heresies that have crept in. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Remember the two sons, the one who said, yes, I believe, I will do, but did not do. And the other one who said, I don't really believe, but he did it anyway. Which one was the true son? The doer of the word. Do not be fooled by these people who say, not by works. Yes, you will not earn it by works. But if you have no works, you have no place in the kingdom. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. What he's talking about is that Christ died for the ungodly who would eventually repent and turn around and go another way with different works and different fruits. This is what he's talking about. And when he goes on in Romans, verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. In other words, we need to be righteous amongst each other so that we will be encouraged to sacrifice for one another, so that the provisions of God through us, through our inner parts, to each other in love for one another, will be there in hard times. This builds the bonds. People come together in congregation and they say, I don't see the bonds. It takes time to build those bonds, to nurture them. It does with a family. Why wouldn't it do also with a congregation? And these people are coming with filthy garments. Help them clean up their act. Be patient. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And they who come in the congregation are yet sinners. Why are you not patient with them as Christ has been patient with you? Why are you not self-sacrificing with them as Christ was self-sacrificing for you? If Christ is in you, would you not do the same for them as he has done for you? Be patient with the unbelievers in your midst, so that they might become believers. Rebuke them. As many as I love, I also rebuke. But do not be impatient with them, lest you reap impatience from God himself. As ye judge, so shall ye be judged. Much more then, being now justified by his word, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. If we come to him and do his will and seek his righteousness. For if then we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of the Son. We, who's he talking about? Those that are obedient in faith. Those who are patient. Those who have righteousness written in them and what they do. And we see the fruits of that righteousness. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, if his life is in us. When you are impatient, it is evidence to you that his life is not in you as much as it needs to be. Yes, you believe. You need help with your unbelief. Because if you were fully in belief, there would be no impatience in you. Even when you rebuke one another, you would do it in love. Well, we'll talk more about this when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. Welcome back.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
So let's get right into it. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That's them. I don't know that you have received it yet. I don't know that you have repented yet. I don't know if you are obedient in faith yet. You tell me, are you really obedient in faith, or do you still not keep even the commandments? Paul warned us that the law is not done away with, it is written in our hearts. Wherefore, by one man sin entereth into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but the sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift of, by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Not all, because all have not repented. All are not obedient in faith. Some sons still say, oh, we will do it, but they are not doing it. And so therefore they are not real sons. Because if you love him, you will keep his commandments. You will be doing it, because it is written in you. You can't help it. You will be given over to Christ's mind, because you have repented and let him live in you. But if you don't, then you will be given over to the reprobate mind, and something dark will live in you, and it will say, oh, do this, oh, do that, oh, fornicate, oh, commit adultery, oh, it's okay to covet, as long as you do it to the government, because Christ said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Christ did not say, give Caesar the power to take away from your neighbor so that you may be saved. That is not his salvation. That is giving Caesar God's power. We have done that from the beginning. We have made covenants with them and with their gods, giving their gods more power over us and over our children. And they devour us, and they devour our children. And God has called that a rejection of him. And we still do it. And we think Christ has given us license to do that which Moses has led us out of? No, God forbid, Paul says. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Justification, righteousness, these are similar terms. You would be righteous if you truly believed. A thought is not repentance. Repentance is turning around. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You cannot be righteous without Christ living in you. You must repent. Let him in. And then keeping the commandments is not a chore. It is a love. It is not hard to do that which is love by you. And if God is loved by you and Christ is loved by you, doing his will becomes easy and the burden is light. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life, but you must repent. It is there, but you must turn around and go another way. And you will find that hard, and when you do, know this, it is because you have not cleaned out all the corners of the temple of the Holy Spirit in which you dwell. You have not made room for Christ in every corner of your being. That is what it means by loving God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. Not just part of your heart. Oh, I love Him some of the time, but I really love to do this stuff over here. You can't have it that way. Must be the whole heart. Must clean out every corner of unrighteousness. And you can't do that without Christ. So mostly it's about submission to His ways, His will, and His Spirit. And you need to wait until He comes in and fills those empty places. And you may have to go into some of those dark places and bring light to the truth of your own failing as a man or as a woman. In verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Many. Are you going to be among those many? Then your faith should be bearing fruit of righteousness and not unrighteousness. Can you take care of all the needy of your society by faith, hope, and charity alone? Do you have the patience to come together with sinners like Christ did and work righteousness in all the things that you do? Luke 13:23. "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that are saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Why? Because they will not let go of pride and vanity and lust and avarice and all those unrighteous things. They glory in them. They love them. They do not really love the Lord, though their lips may say they do. And there are many ear ticklers out there that have come in with damnable heresies that will say, "Oh, you don't need to worry about that. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much so that He died for you." But Jesus said, "If you will not forgive, neither will my Father forgive you." So it isn't you that He died for. I mean, He did in hope that you might repent. But if you will not repent, you will not reap the reward of His salvation, because you will not put on His wedding garments. You will be bound up and cast out. Turn about. Let's go the other way. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." And He shall answer and say unto you, "I know you not whence ye are." That's because you weren't striving. You weren't seeking. You weren't conforming to the ways of Christ. Oh, you were giving Him lots of lip service. You could cut and paste from the Bible left and right. You could do all those things, but you were not living in the righteousness of the early church. You were not being obedient in the faith. You were whoring after the gods of the world. You were rejecting God by electing men to rule over you. And God said He would not hear your prayers in that day. Now, I admit that all would be deceived, even the very elect, as this is a strong delusion. But now you are hearing the words of the truth. You must turn around and repent. You must start seeking the kingdom. You must try to enter at the strait gate. "Then ye shall begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." Because you were not doing what Christ said. You were not striving. You were not obedient in faith. You memorized lots of verses, but you missed the essence of the gospel, which was to live by love, not by the sword, not by force, not by compelling your neighbors, Not by the Corbin of the Pharisees that makes the word of God to none effect. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth at that time, when ye shall say, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and ye shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Moreover, he says in verse 20, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So, yes, we're all sinners. We've all gone the wrong way. We've all turned away from the ways of Christ. And now it is time to turn back to the ways of faith, the ways of casting your bread upon the waters in hope that it might come back to you. No entitlement, no guaranteed benefit. You sacrifice in hope, in patience. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Unto righteousness. You will be made righteous in true faith. And you will find the ways of God not a burden, and you shall go his way. In Hosea 10:13, we see, ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men, those benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. He goes on in 14, therefore shall a tumult arise amongst thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shulman spoiled Betharbel in the day of battle, and the mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. Shulman, what is that? What does that mean? It's actually a Hebrew word, Shem, Lamad, Mem, Nun. And it's translated fire worshiper. It says maybe an obscure Assyrian king, predecessor, but it happens to be the same letters of another word that we see in another text that is translated reward. Yeah, the same exact letters are translated reward. It goes on to say in verse 15, so shall Bethel do unto you because of your wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. Okay. In Isaiah 1:23, we see that same word Shulman, but not translated Shulman, translated reward. And he is saying, thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. And that is where he says the word rewards. It is rewards, your love of rewards that have spoiled you. This word gifts, it's a similar word, but it starts with the Shem. And it is translated gift and also reward. Also bribe, present, bribery. And we see it appear in several other verses, such as Exodus 23:8. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. So it's a particular kind of gift. It's the bribe gift. It is, if you vote for me, I will give you these benefits. Never mind that I take them from your neighbor. You see? It is those gifts. The greatest destroyers of liberty are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. And that is what they're talking about. That's Shulman. Gift. And bribe. And reward. The entitlement of men who call themselves benefactors. We see it in Deuteronomy 16:19. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eye of the wise and pervert the words of righteousness. In this world of benefits, we are very blind, and the blind leadeth the blind. Proverbs 17:23, the wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. And this is what has happened. Everybody is in love with their gifts and their rewards, and they have gone out of the way of Christ. Ezekiel 16:33, they give gifts of all whores, but thou givest thy gift of all thy lovers, and hirest them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. Hirest is the word there. Bribe. You buy your votes amongst the democracies of the world, and the democracies eat out the substance of their neighbors. They eat the flesh of their neighbors. And they call that righteousness. They are blind to true righteousness. They are blind to the ways of Christ. They are covetous people, and they have been made merchandise. And what should have been for their welfare has become a snare. And they have again returned and become entangled again in the elements of the world, in the bondage of the world. And it is time that they turn about and repent and go another way. Paul understood that. The Romans understood that. They were obedient in faith and turning around and learning to take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity, through congregations of love, bound by love only. No one had to give, but those who had shared with those who didn't have. And those who didn't yet learn to share gave us opportunity for patience. And in our patience for them, there was hope that God would be patient with us. For as we forgive, so shall we be forgiven. And as we are patient, so shall he be patient with us. But if we are impatient with them, then we should not expect patience for us. It is lambing time here on the desert again, and we will be getting lambs shortly, and there is an exercise in patience. You get a little lamb up in a cold day, and you bring him into the barn with his mother, and you put him down so that he can suck from his mother. And he knows they have found that tit for generation upon generation to suck at their mothers. But sometimes they seem to be so slow in finding that life-giving milk. They bounce around at the wrong end, and they look here against the side of the pen, and you say, well, they'll never find it, and you become impatient. You go and you bring the lamb over, and you put it under the mother. And then he backs away. And you try to nudge him under there, so that patiently trying to get him to take. And the more you push him under, the more he pulls away. He pushes against your hope that they get. You cannot push him under there. You take the teat and put it in his mouth and try to get him to suck by holding his throat. And he starts to suck, and then he pulls away. The fact is you have to be patient. They have to learn to give. They have to learn to turn around. If they do not, the Lord will come, because they have not put on the wedding gown, the bridal clothes. And he will take them and bind them up and cast them into the utter darkness. But they are your opportunity to learn patience, to learn love without return. Christ has loved us without return. Can we not love them also without return? Now we will be going on to chapter 6, and we'll review again at the beginning of chapter 6, but just give us a glimpse into that chapter. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? But many, I know, say they believe, but they still live in sin. But Paul says, God forbid. How can you do that? It is because you do not yet really believe. You have thought a thought. You have begun faith, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. You need to question that. Have you begun faith? Do you see it changing? And if you see it changing, God bless you. But have you seen all change? Have you seen the completeness of the kingdom in you? I doubt it. Continue at the gate. Continue finding the straight way. Broad is the way to destruction. Narrow is the way to the kingdom of God. And many shall not enter in, even those that say they believe. If you do not see the change in your walk of faith, if you do not see a complete walk of faith, then you still have need of repentance. As I said, you know, if you're off just a few degrees, you may miss the target entirely. You may never, ever even come in sight of land. No, God forbid. Seek righteousness in every day, in every way. Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. When they were baptized by Herod, they were registered. When they were baptized by Christ at Pentecost, they were cast out. They were dead to the Pharisees. But they were born again in Christ. They had to provide for one another now through faith, hope, and charity alone. They could not go to the temple to receive the benefits of Herod or the Pharisees. But they were free. They were not entangled in that bondage. They had a system of Corban that still needed attending. They still needed to attend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, and mercy and faith amongst themselves. And they did this by thousands, tens of thousands, but still a minority within the Roman Empire. And Romans did it, and Paul is writing to those Romans who did it, who would no longer go to the temple of Saturn to obtain their benefits. They would not register their children at the temple of Saturn. They would write them down amongst their congregations and make a record of the fact that they were going to live, a testament that they were going to live by faith, sacrificing daily, weekly for one another, those having, sharing with those that did not have. The Eucharist of Christ was a true benefit to all, not by men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, but by men who call themselves Christians, who exercised love. And this is the ways of Christ, and this is what Paul is telling us about, and this is what Paul is leading us to do, and this is where he is talking about us, those who are doing it, who are doers of the word, and not hearers only, who are not involved in vain imaginations of false salvations, of proclamations of faith that has no fruit. They came together and not forsake the coming together, because in coming together they could practice being like Christ with faith and forgiveness, with love and patience, with a brotherhood of righteousness amongst a peculiar people who truly were kings and priests, no longer rebellious, no longer a den of thieves, but a den of righteousness, a house of love. Until next time, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.